Tune in for an exclusive and permanent deal just for you. Get ready to immerse yourself in nature with an ongoing offer of 20% off all Strawberry Cough feminized cannabis seeds, exclusively designed for our valued podcast listeners. When you head over to homegrowncannabisco.com and use code COUGH20 at checkout, that's COUGH20. It's time to embrace the power of nature and embark on a growing experience like no other.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of GWA, Grow Weed at Home with me, Kyle Cushman. Today's episode is about how I do this. You want to grow at home? Grow in a tent? This is what I've learned over the last 3 years. Hey everybody, I want to welcome you to my home grow. As everybody knows, I'm a tent home grower and this is my kind of second living room. So I'm going to kind of break this down off the cuff here. Try to be as simple as I can, but let you guys know what I've learned in 3 years of tent growing. So off to my right here, I've got a 10 by 10, if you can imagine that. And off to my left here, I have a 4x8. And the 4x8, you know, we're going to start here. This is where it all starts, right? So as you can see, I've got a tray of clones and I've got several mamas here. And this basically is the whole cycling setup for the big tent. You have some mamas, you make your own clones, and that's where you get the plants to flower in your big tent. Sounds really simple. It is really pretty simple. Taking clones is not hard. I've got some really cool AC Infinity strip lights that come with this amazing controller that you can actually program, or you can just set to different intensities, 10 different intensities of 20 watts, which is really, really convenient for raising up clones. You put it on like a 3, the first couple of days, and then 4, and then 5, and then when they're starting to sprout, I put it up to a 6. And I just keep those going 24 hours a day. And the mamas here, I give them a rest. I run them at 20 and 4. Some people run a veg cycle at 18 and 6, but a lot of hybrids, and these are really old cultivars. My Strawberry Cough and my Grape Ape are over 30 years old. You don't want them to throw hairs prematurely, so 20 hours on and 4 hours off is really good. And since you're burning like no light, it's not expensive. These mamas are actually only about a month old. I just recycled new ones. And I cut them back, keep them cut back really well because I'm not taking anything off them. I'm just kind of trying to keep them healthy, so when I need them again, they're ready to go. And I just feed them a straight grow formula, you know? I love this VS Grow from Organics Alive. It pretty much does everything. It's the 10-5-3 plus 3 sulfur. And they have other formulations, and I use those too, but that's really your main NPK. And I add a little bit of Roots Oregonianism for microbes. And sometimes I use this Roots Organics Terp Tea to add a little boost. I've got I like this Terp Tea. They make a grow, a bloom, and a bloom boost formula that actually has some meals in it. Langbeinite, kaiserite, you know, these are really good ingredients. Those are trace minerals, you know, from the ground. And I'm not going to get into the whole feeding schedule. So notice I don't really trim up the mamas too much because, you know, I leave them kind of au naturel because the more you clean them up from the bottom, the more they grow up here. The more sites that you have on them, the slower they're going to grow vertically. And so this is pretty simple. You know, every 3 or 4 days, I throw a half a gallon of water in each one of these, and I've got the timer on, and I got a little circulation, and basically I zip the tent up, and like I said, that one stays on 24 hours until my clones shoot, and those are, actually I took 2 clones off the top of every one of my breeders in here, my Larry Lopez breeders, and so I'm going to be able to kill all my males and flower out my females and choose those. And that's my pheno hunt and my breeding cycle, my breeding
project for the first time in 10 years. So the veg tent's pretty easy, right? The only really thing I could do to improve this would be to throw in a humidifier. You don't need it because the light intensity is low. Once you get up into the close to 1,000 watt range and you're really ramping up the rate of photosynthesis, if you don't increase the humidity, your plants may show signs of deficiency and not be happy. And secondly would be CO2, but ambient CO2 under small LEDs is always gonna be enough. You're not gonna need to supplement that. Now, like I said, but humidity is important. A good high humidity is important for a high rate of photosynthesis. So pretty much this tent is maintenance free. I could wrap this up for 3 or 4 days and really there's nothing to do. I could go away. On the other hand, the flowering tent is a different story. She is a different beast. And so the things that I've learned over 3 years of doing that is, one, it's not automatic because inevitably it's going to need to be vented. You know, when you're putting in 3,500 watts in a closed area, even if it's wintertime, it's going to need to be vented. And the reason it needs to be vented is because I don't want to run the air conditioner all the time. So I suppose if I just ran the air conditioner, which is all vented out the back and everything, then I wouldn't need to vent it. But I'm trying to save money on electricity. Electricity is really expensive. So basically this is how I run this big tent here. So the most important thing when you're growing a big tent indoors in your house is you got to realize that you might have to follow the seasons a little bit. Like I can't grow in the dead of summer because I don't cool my house to a cool enough temperature that would be able to make my appliances run in there and have the environment stay optimal. The big problem is the dehumidifier and the air conditioner fighting against each other because the dehumidifier creates heat, okay? The dehumidified air that it blows out is hot. And so that's why I like to vent the tent as well, because you are supplementing CO2, of course, and CO2 settles. And so when I vent the top of the tent, it very easily lets out the hottest of the heat and the highest of the humidity, the top end of the humidity, and it doesn't really bleed off CO2 like it would if I cracked the bottom. And so with a few inches cracked on the front of the tent during the on cycle, the dehumidifier runs 5 minutes, shuts off for 15 minutes, 5 minutes, shuts off for 15 minutes. And the AC doesn't really even run during the daytime. So at nighttime, the other thing is, I used to think that you wanted a drastic difference between daytime and nighttime temperatures all the time. It's true you do want it during ripening, but once you flip to flowering, there's really no need to get that drastic swing to nighttime temperatures. So again, that means I can seal up my room and I don't have to have my AC and my dehumidifier fighting each other. The big way that people get around that is they build a lung room. Now, I don't have a lot of extra room on the side of my tent. I've taken up most of the room in my house. What a lung room is, you take your appliances out of your major tent and you build a room on the side of it and you enclose it in a box.
Oh, wow. I want to send a huge thank you and shout out to Mitchell, one of our homegrown cannabis company super users, for sending us this awesome video of his lung room.
And here we have the lung room. My lung room allows me to run what I call a semi-sealed grow. So my semi-sealed flower room allows me to enrich and not waste all that CO2 with constant exhausting. because it is semi-sealed. And how I have it semi-sealed, I have two inline fans that pull from inside this tent. They're always on. And they're bringing air in and constantly pushing it into the tent. And this is on both sides. This is the upgraded version. And then that air is pushed out, pushed into the tent, circulates up, flows through, and goes out the top there. And then I have two inline fans above, which are pulling from the tops of the tents. So this allows the conditioning all to happen. And then those come back here, you see. So this allows the conditioning to happen in a tent. So we don't have to sacrifice light, well, canopy space, or we don't have to sacrifice canopy space for utilities. Everything in our tents can be 100% canopy, which really allows it to be effective. If we're going to spend money on electricity and high power LED lights, we don't want to have holes in our canopy to fit utilities. So that's what this allows me to do. It allows me to have all my utilities in here, not only being able to enrich, but I have a heater, two heaters actually, that turn on and off in the winter. And when it's in the summer, of course, I have an AC unit in here. I have a dehumidifier in here. That's all automated as well by the Trollmaster. And then I also have humidity making. We could get into those some other day. But that's how I make my humidity there as well. And so this is all automated from my lung room. There is another inline fan that is for exhaust. So I use components of, I mean, semi-seal describes it best. I do exhaust as little as possible, but it's required. I have an input, a fresh air draw that allows fresh air to come in here naturally, so the tent doesn't go into get too negative. And yes, that is my lung room.
And not only does that give you more room inside, but also what that does is the hot air coming off the dehumidifier has time to cool before, as you pump it in. So instead of it coming out at, like, you know, I don't know, maybe like 90 degrees, the air is now going to come in at 70 degrees. Again, it lowers the fight between your AC and your dehumidifier. I have found a way to not have to have the lung room that's between only flowering. Like, I'm going to be done in the first week of July, right before the real heat hits. So I only flower generally winter going into spring, and then fall going into winter. I'm a little late this year, but I've kind of got it down, and I got a really good outdoor vent going. And I do keep my house cool in the summertime. Actually, it's a pretty cool spot. It's all about growing indoors in your house, in a tent. It's going to be seriously affected by your climate. The climate in your house and the climate of your seasons. And it will either work for you and or against you. A little bit of both. Like, I'm growing from 11 at night to 11 a.m. in the morning because I'm taking advantage of the cool nights. But the thing is that because I go to sleep, and if I leave the tent closed, it'll go up to 90 plus degrees. I have to vent the tent before I go to sleep. But that means that the tent doesn't warm up. So I don't get that nice high VPD of having my room being mid 80s until, you know, 3-4 hours because I have to vent my tent. So what you have to do is you have to take some hits on optimizing somewhere and make sure that the room doesn't get 95 degrees. And it does take some observation. But I found that it all works out. During my veg, my CO2 tank lasts me a week. And during flowering, it lasts me almost 2 weeks. So the CO2 is worthwhile. I've got the AC, doesn't need to run too much. And I got my flowering done in, my vegging done in less than 40 days from seed. And that's all thanks to these wonderful LEDs we got these days. I just switched over to these new Phantom GL250s. I gotta tell you, dollar per watt, dollar per lumen, dollar per PPFD, there's nothing I've ever seen that comes close. These are on the lowest setting right now, 40%. And they go all the way up there, and I can fill this tent, veg this tent completely out. They even have a flowering mode that gives you another 100 or so there. And I haven't tried that yet, but it definitely looks sufficient enough to do the job. So pretty much there you have it. You've got a 4x8 and a 10x10, and I can grow more than enough weed for me, my family, my friends. Stay tuned, because this is a good one. This is my first breeding project in over a decade. I crossed, I got some wonderful pollen from my buddy Leo Stone. What up, Leo, of Aficionado. And he passed me some Larry BX3. That means back cross three times. Larry OG, that old school fucking Larry gas. And I put it on my Cherry Lopez here. And I'm gonna be looking for that cherry gas in this round right here. I hope you enjoyed my tent growing episode. Now enjoy another episode of Highlights at Home. New look for hemp laws in Connecticut. Connecticut has recently put the lid on intoxicating hemp products through a new law signed by Governor Ned Lamont. The state Senate bill gave thumbs up to House Bill 5150, and it got the green light from the governor last weekend. This move means you won't find intoxicating hemp products being sold at the local gas stations or convenience stores anymore. The law also tweaks the definition of high THC hemp products and makes a few adjustments to the rules regarding hemp and marijuana regulations. Meanwhile, folks in the hemp industry are eagerly waiting to see what the first draft of the new farm bill will look like. The Senate Agricultural Committee, Democratic leaders, and the House Agriculture Committee, Republican leaders, have already put forward their blueprints for the upcoming legislation. Fresh cannabis offerings allowed at Ontario Farmgate stores. Ontario, Canada is shaking things up by allowing licensed cannabis producers to offer exclusive products at Farmgate stores located right at their production sites. This will give these stores a chance to stand out and create a unique retail experience. The Ontario Cannabis Store, OCS, announced this new policy change recently, with more details expected to drop on their website by late spring. With only one wholesale entity in the province, this move gives retailers a shot at having the hottest and most unique products. The OCS is also working on streamlining the process for Farmgate stores to get exclusive products to the market faster. They're currently gathering feedback from licensed producers and retailers to make sure everything goes smoothly. Border troubles continue for legal cannabis in New Mexico. Despite cannabis commerce being legal in the state, federal customs and border patrol agents in New Mexico have been seizing legal cannabis shipments moving between the state's different regions. The seizures have been happening for a while now, with the CBP stating that it's all legal under federal law. Unfortunately, this has caused significant losses for cannabis businesses like Smoky Roads Farms, owned by Ryan Strand. Governor Lou Anne Grisham has expressed her frustration with these seizures, raising concerns with Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas. The CBP has seized hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of cannabis products from licensed companies in the state so far. Minnesota residents argue for selling homegrown cannabis. Four Minnesota residents cultivating cannabis are taking state cannabis regulations to court, claiming that they should be allowed to sell their homegrown products without needing a license. Citing a provision in the state constitution, they argue that they have the right to sell what they grow without any additional permits. This move is particularly important for medical cannabis patients like Patrick McClellan, who find the cost of growing their own cannabis prohibitively high. The ongoing debate centers around the interpretation of the state constitution amidst the changing landscape of cannabis laws in Minnesota.
Are you ready to take your cannabis cultivation game to the next level? Well, hold on to your buds because we have an amazing offer just for you. Are you familiar with Strawberry Cough? This legendary strain has delighted cannabis enthusiasts worldwide with its mouthwatering flavor and uplifting effects. Lineage? Sure, let's dive into it. Strawberry Cough is a delicious cross between Strawberry Fields and Haze. Its distinct strawberry aroma and sweet taste make it a favorite among connoisseurs. Now, here's the exciting news. We're offering a fantastic deal on Strawberry Cough feminized cannabis seeds. You'll receive 20% off your purchase on any pack size of these seeds when you use code COUGH20. That's COUGH20. That's COUGH20 at homegrowncannabisco.com. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to grow your own Strawberry Cough. Whether you're a seasoned cultivator or a newbie looking to explore the world of marijuana horticulture, these feminized seeds will set you on the path to aromatic success. Visit homegrowncannabisco.com today and select from their wide range of premium cannabis seeds, and maybe take advantage of 20% off your Strawberry Cough seeds when using code COUGH20. Happy growing, folks! Get ready to savor the tantalizing flavors and uplifting effects of Strawberry Cough, a strain that deserves a spot in every cannabis enthusiast's garden. Check out homegrowncannabisco.com now and seize this offer before it's gone.